When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
An official intelligence representative at a high level from the U.S. government is saying publicly to the human race, we are not alone.
We're definitely not alone. Absolutely, the data points empirically that we're not alone.
Use, want some destroy.
It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ here with you over the next 3 hours. Dana Holgerson going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour this morning. So you U of H fans, tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Let's go. Dana's going to be here, and if you've got questions for him, you can send it to us at John Granato, at Lance Erline, at RHasNoJ on Twitter, or you can call in the show while he is here in the 9 o'clock hour. So we got that going on, and we got Astros baseball to talk, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, was it good. Was it good last night? They look like the Angels last night. You know how incompetent the Angels are defensively? Them and the Red Sox. The Red Sox are, it's almost buffoonery out there with the Red Sox this year.
Yeah.
And the Angels are much the same. We saw it with, they had the pop fly that turned into a infield fly rule. You see the first baseman and the pitcher just let it drop, and it's like, we'll give them a buy on that one.
It was infield fly rule. Yeah,
infield fly rule. But they didn't mean it. They weren't trying to double anybody up. They just screwed it up, not catching it. Well, the Astros looked like that last night. Jake Meyers' route to that fly ball was atrocious.
Really bad.
Really bad. And he goes and makes another play later. I mean, he's a good center fielder, and he goes and makes the direct route and the warning track, makes the catch almost, I want to say identical, because the other one looked like it was hit a little bit better. But, boy, did he look terrible. Jose Abreu, you know what his quote is? Here's Jose Abreu's quote about last night. Jose Abreu says, it was my fault that we lost the game. I feel like crap offensively. We lost the game because of me. I take full responsibility, and I feel like absolute crap offensively.
I saw Jackie posted on Twitter. He said he's about one home game away from being, or he's about one game away from being booted home. And I don't know if it was, you know, in relationship to the conversation we have about people are not booing him.
Yep.
But it's getting to a point where the frustration with Jose Abreu is at some point is going to reach a fevered pitch.
I just wish he would button his shirt sometimes. I mean,
that's it.
I know. I'm
Italian. I just wish he would drive
Listen,
in.
I'm Italian.
I just wish he'd get hot for three games.
No, I wish. Yeah, but if you're gonna suck, button your shirt, okay?
What's that gonna do?
I don't care. It's like you didn't finish getting dressed. How could you be any good? Finish getting
that's
dressed.
That's part
today.
Of his swag.
Well, it ain't no what his what?
You got to keep the swag
his,
going.
His what?
I'm surprised.
There's really, no swag in Jose Abreu.
When are you going to get to the Yordan part?
And Dusty is ominous about this.
I know he is.
This is bad. Here's Dusty's quote. It's a blow. We'll reevaluate him tomorrow. That's a tough blow right now, right there. We've just got to regroup and try to figure out how we're going to win some ball games and get through this. Ball games.
How we're going to try to figure out how we're going to win some games.
Games? How about he's just going to be okay today?
Nope.
What happened to that?
Nope. It was a double bubble. They got bad news on Lance McCullers now is going to get an MRI because he continues to have setbacks. So this is I'm getting to the point where I know that he's done. Like this is going to be another year. The Lance just doesn't pitch this year. And we'll see what ends up happening, but it's an oblique injury, which is the same one that they has kept Jose Altuve.
Well, do you think he gave it to? He might have caught it from Altuve.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Yeah, you can't catch that. It's
are
not
you?
That.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, it's not a contagious situation.
Oh, really? Because how many oblique injuries have we had?
I understand that, but it is not a. It's not something that's contagious. You didn't have to wear. I didn't see him wearing masks. So maybe they did.
Maybe
caught,
they did.
Maybe he caught.
Okay.
An oblique.
Okay. Everybody's. Oh, no masks. Masks don't do any good. Oh, really? When you got an oblique injury, apparently now the guy who's right behind you in the lineup gets it too.
But was it an N95?
Was it?
If they were wearing masks, was it even sealed?
It's so funny seeing people still wear masks. I'm like, what are you doing? Take it off. Anyway. Oh my God, Jose Abreu, nice base running. What are you doing? And Fromber, what are you doing? A ground ball back to the pitcher with the bases loaded. Throw home.
I know.
Throw home. My goodness, just throw home and get the out. And he barely got it to second on time, let alone get a double play.
It's a harder throw. It's a harder throw. You're just trying to get the lead man. It's basic baseball. If you got a chance to go home first, home to first, you do it.
Yes.
Get the basic. I mean, obviously, from the pitchers. From the pitchers.
Now, he was going to his right.
I understand.
He felt like
it's
he
easier
could turn
to turn
and throw.
And whip.
But
yeah.
It was a chopper, and it wasn't going to get. It barely got the guy at second, let him go alone and got it first. Throw home. Get that out. I mean, and then Jake makes his play. What a disaster. And as soon as they were down 3-2, it was over. It was over.
No,
this offense,
that.
You know, this has been the most clutch offense in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. This offense has been one of the best, if not the best, in baseball. And that's disappeared. Mm-hmm. That's just gone. And Jose Abreu is the final out, swinging at a pitch at his eyes. I mean, talk about awful. I mean, this team is just, it's so funny. They're so good, so good. And then Jeremy Pena doesn't even run down the first. I know it's a chopper to the pitcher, caught clean by the pitcher, but he throws the ball almost away. If Jeremy Pena is hustling, he gets on first base. I mean, you want to talk about it's a comedy of errors.
Well, I mean,
they were beaten
because in the sixth inning Fromber made, and this isn't the first time he's done this. I remember when his quality game streak snapped. We were at our fantasy auction last year. Remember that? And the day that I think that's when it happened. Well, maybe it didn't. Was it broken then? Anyway, it was the same situation where he hurt himself defensively. He made some bad throws, you know, bad decisions. I remember as a defender off the mound, and he ended up killing himself in that game.
Yep, yep, yep.
And
he usually does this. He did this like a
he's done this
inning.
A couple
yeah.
times.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
done this a couple times where uh-huh. that's one where you – I understand that he was moving a certain way, you know, and it was the easier throw was to second. But you kind of have to go home in that one. And then Jake Meyers, as you mentioned, I mean, that's one that just absolutely kills you because you don't – he had no depth perception. It was a shot, and he's running laterally instead of backwards. And, you know, and then dives and looks like a big goof flying through the air.
Ugh.
And before you know it, there's a 3-run inning on the board.
Yeah.
And that's all they got.
And that's it. And that's it. Well, but it was over, though. I mean, it's just terrible.
No Yordan. And, hey, Dusty, what he said was actually true. It may be ominous sounding, but we're just going to figure out how we're going to win games. It's true. They've lost 3 in a row. Your stopper just got beat yesterday in Fromber, and you haven't been able to find any runs the last 3 games. No runs, and now with Yordan out, which sounds like it's going to be, we're going to try to find a way to win some games, you know, that doesn't sound like Yordan's out for, you know, like he's just, you know, Yordan has some, I mean, I'll say it, Yordan misses some time now. Yordan has different injuries that creep up every year.
And then there are sometimes
he's a violent swinger.
Yeah.
Well, he's not. It looks smooth, but I mean, he's a big guy. It's got this hand. It's got that hand. He's got a knee. He's got. Well, he had both knees.
Yeah, both knees. Yeah.
Then he's got an oblique. Like he misses some time now.
Yeah. And then he goes through some spurts where you know he just looks lost at the plate. And then there's other times he looks like Babe Ruth. So. I mean, you got to take the good with the bad.
Oh,
and if Yordan is out, you just got to deal with that. They should be good enough to win some games anyway. You know what? Go to Cleveland and hit the ball. Bregman, hit the ball. Altuve, hit the ball. Abreu, start hitting the ball. Kyle Tucker, be more consistent. Kyle Tucker has been up and down this year. Kyle Tucker is one of the best players in baseball. He needs to start playing better. You know what? The whole team. Yiner, put Yiner in there, Dusty. Stop screwing this thing up and put Yiner in there and let him bat every day and see what happens. What? You don't pinch hit for Maldi? I mean, honestly, what do you? How in the world, late in the game, in a one-run game, do you let Martin Maldonado bat?
I don't know. This is this has to be an automatic AB in his place. This is one that I can't understand with you know, some of the stuff Dusty just has to make decisions and go with his lineups. Pinch hitting for a light hitting catcher with another catcher who can hit, it seems like an easy decision.
Yep. No.
I don't get that one.
No.
You know, Abreu has a hit in four of his last five games. He had two last game.
And it's usually he had two, but it's usually one for four. And it's a single and it's meaningless. I mean, look at his slugging. It's less than his slugging is less than his
at this point, it seems impossible at this point of the season.
It's not.
It's one thing to start a season that way.
He's a bad singles hitter. I don't know about the whole booing thing.
He's got seven strikeouts in his last 19 at bats. Okay, that's not ideal. That's less than one every three.
Are you going to start looking at the downside of Jose Abreu?
Well, he's got five hits in his last 19 at bats. That's pretty good.
No, it's not.
Five of 19?
Yeah, that's great.
That's so if we go make it five
right
of 20.
260, 270. Yeah. All right. I'd take 260. Yeah, I would take that.
Yeah.
But he's not doing that. He's not. That's not him. Okay,
he's literally doing it.
A lot of games.
He's
at 260.
Literally doing it.
He
it
doesn't have
him.
20 games.
He's up to
19 games streaks left. He doesn't have that many left. So you know he's going to have to do a lot better.
This would actually surprise you. He's had a hit in six of his last seven games.
Is he great?
Yeah,
that's great.
And he's hitting two.
And what's his OPS?
Okay, but hold on. You haven't heard all the good news.
Oh, okay.
In June, right now, he's got a hit in six of his last seven games. He's hitting 269, which is kind of high for him. And his OPS, he actually has a higher slugging than on-base percentage this month, 308 to 286. His OPS for the month, this hot month.
It's still in the 500s.
Well, yeah, but 593, that's
okay.
close to 600.
Yeah, but that's close to 600.
It's close to 600. He's been caught stealing once.
Well, that was last
wasn't really
night.
Yeah. And then his strikeouts, eight strikeouts. In 26 at-bats, that's not bad. It's less than one every four. I mean, it's more than one every three.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's some positives. Three RBIs.
He got three RBIs
this
month?
He has a walk. Yep.
How'd he do it?
He does have one double this month.
All right, good. He's got an extra base hit this month?
Six singles. He scored a run one time.
That's awesome. That is just awesome.
What's the highest batting average he's had all year, do you think?
His highest average? It had to be... I don't know. What, the first week of the season?
I'm looking at it right now.
The highest batting average he's had all season is probably 240-something.
See, no.
I'm giving him too much credit.
This just shows that you are
I'm giving him
biased.
Way too much credit.
No, 324.
What, 324, really?
I'm sorry, 345.
What? Game two? Game three?
No, I'm sorry. No. Yeah, he at one point he was hitting 381.
What? And what game was it?
Well, he had two hits his first game, two hits his second game, two hits his third game.
Oh, nice.
See? And he was at 381.
That's what I said. It was the third game of the season.
Yeah, but he still was hitting over 300 until like April 9th. He was hitting 317.
But sixth or seventh game of the season?
No, like 9 or 10. And then he went down from 317 immediately to 289 and then... And was back up to 291. I mean, this has been kind of a roller coaster year.
Not
for him.
Really. That's the first.
He's had some
two
good
weeks of the season.
Some good times and some bad times.
That's really the two first.
Do you
two
know
weeks.
That his highest OPS this year? I think it surprised you. It was 887.
Really?
After once again the third game.
Third game. Yeah.
That was that big. You remember his? I didn't remember that, but he was red hot after the first three games.
Yeah, I didn't remember that either. That seems like a
They were all singles.
Seems like a while ago now. Yeah. It's all singles.
Yeah.
Seems like a while ago now.
It does, but it gives me hope.
Uh-huh.
You know.
No. There's I can see that.
It gives me hope now.
All right. A lot of stuff to talk about.
It didn't take long to get to the 600s and then down to the 500s. It
713
very quickly this year.
780-37.
John, we have a guy in the middle of the line with a 500 plus OPS.
Mm-hmm. And let's keep running them out there fifth every day. Let's keep running them out there.
I mean,
gotta hit them fifth there, Dusty. Attaboy.
Who's the most embarrassing hitters and that we always during since time that we've been doing radio? It's always Bogar or
Everett.
Yeah, Adam Everett, Tim Bogar. It's always the guys we point to. If you say Bogar or Everett, it means light hat hitting slappy guys.
Osmus.
But you've got to add Jose Abreu now.
No.
He's a light hitting slappy hitter also.
Go look at their numbers and look at
Abreu's. It's better than his.
Yeah, but they're better than his. They're Adam better Everett than his. And Tim Bogar were better hitters than
we, his. They are known as the guy. When you talk about Adam Everett or Tim Bogar or Brad Osmus, you're like, okay, that means, you know, good defense, no bad.
Slappy, whiffy
McGround out.
Whiffy McGround out.
And then you have now you have to throw Jose Abreu in the mix with those guys now. These are the same numbers.
At 19 and a half a year, he's number one. Number one slappy.
These are the same. He's just a slappy. He can't get to he's at 542 OPS. Like, he can't even get to 600, which would 600 would be appalling.
Oh, God.
What's below appalling?
If he gets to 600 this year, he's gone on a red hot streak.
Do you still feel he gets to 750?
Yeah, 750. I'm telling you right here and now, he's going to go be unbelievable.
You had the Jose Altuve 300. I feel good with your Jose predictions.
Last night was his nadir.
With two hits?
I mean, it's the low point. He even said, I feel like absolute crap at the plate. I lost this game. I take full responsibility. This is the first time he's saying, I lost the game for us, and there were plenty of instances where he had. This is as low as it's been.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to, watch. Boom. Choo! He's going to just shoot right to the top.
I think he's an old guy who's lost.
Okay,
His bat's getting slower, and his confidence
just
has completely been wrecked.
Because Dusty's going to keep, and he's going to keep that up. He's going to keep putting him in the five hole because he believes.
What do you do? I guess at some point.
Well, if you're a veteran, if you played for 8 years, you're batting at the top of Dusty's order.
Well, I mean, at some point, what do you do here? Do you just have to, because his paycheck's high, you have to keep playing him, and he's an older player with a slower bat now who has no confidence.
Well,
I don't see how you get out of that.
Yeah,
slow bat doesn't help, and how are you going to get your confidence when you don't have your physical capabilities you once had?
I don't know.
He hasn't put together, like, you know, he's got this stretch where he's hitting the ball hard. He's just got bad luck. The old XFIP, you're not getting any. There's nothing like that.
I was just thrilled that Montero didn't give up any runs last night. Just thrilled for
Baby
Jeff Bagwell.
Steps.
I was thrilled that for Jeff Bagwell, he did not give up any runs because it would have been yet another.
Do you think Bagwell, is this a sports radio thing, or you think Bagwell's going to get tagged with Abreu? Like across the board?
Oh, no, Bagwell's tagged with Abreu. There's no question.
Yeah, but I mean, is it just going to be on our sports talk bubble where we talk about it, or do you think Astros fans all realize?
Astros fans do. They know those two signings were when there was no GM. Astros fans aren't stupid. They know. Are you kidding? Astros Twitter?
Astros Twitter, but they're inside the the hardcore bubble. I just wonder if the average fan knows. I mean, that Bags was. I mean, let's face
he's
it.
The one he was. No. You want me to go look up the article where Jeff Bagwell flew down to Miami to get Jose Abreu?
I know.
Yeah. All right. You know where I'm not flying around.
He was
you know
speaking
why?
To the media. At
hey,
the
listen.
Time.
I let somebody drive my.
Hope it wasn't Frankie.
It was a guy over at Luling's. As a matter of fact, he's like, as soon as I pulled up, I backed into the stall, and he comes out and he says, "Man, let me see the truck. I got to see the truck." And I let him. He drove it around, and he was like, "Unbelievable! It is so totally sweet. Look, they've got Lightnings, and if you're looking for a Lightning, you want to buy a Lightning. I'm telling you, it's the best vehicle that I've ever owned, and I got the best deal that I could possibly get. I got it at Chastang Ford. I bought my Expedition at Chastang Ford. They got me. The first thing that they asked me, and they will ask you, where do your payments have to be? And they're going to get you there. Now, you're going to have to sacrifice some stuff. Well, I want a sunroof, and I want tinted windows, and I want leather, and I want, well, wait a minute. Where do your payments got to be? Okay. Or, do you know what they're not going to do? Well, you got to get this. You got to get that. You need this. You need that. No, they'll never do that. What do you want in the vehicle? Now, let's get you at the monthly rate that you have to be at. That's what they do every single time at Chastain Ford. Work that deal, get you the best interest rate they can possibly find, get you the best deal, get you all the rebates, all of that stuff. No add-ons, no markups. It's what they do every single time at Chastain Ford. ChastainFord.com. You'll love dealing with these people. I'm telling you, they're the best. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Everyone loves our chicken pot pie.
Chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie.
Yeah. Yeah, partially functional. Half of me is comfortable. The other half is close to the cliff, like Mrs. Huxtable. These boys got
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's John and Lance and the same five guys who always call. Oh, yay.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 721, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 is the number. Yeah, and that's another thing I don't get. Jose Altuve is back. Jeremy Pena is in the lineup. Jeremy Pena is like a 1,200 OPS when he bats second.
Mm-hmm.
He leads him off.
He was great last year, too.
He's the number two hitter. This has worked. The Astros' record is tremendous when he bats second, yet Dusty puts him in the leadoff.
Yeah, hole. I don't get that one either. That was the reason that, for me, it was a no. There shouldn't have even been an argument if Brantley had been healthy about Pena Brantley. Pena has taken over the number two spot, but now he's leading off. But, you know, they may view Pena as, when I say they, I mean, Dusty didn't. God, did Dusty have any time with George? Yeah, he had a. Yeah, he had a year with George, right?
Dusty was with George for a year.
No, wasn't he?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Yeah, but because, you know, it feels like Pena's more of the George Springer type. Because he's got some pop. He's got, you know, he can be a good hitter, but he's a guy that sometimes, just like George, can get a little free swinging at times. But he's got the pop in his bat. Like, he does have a little bit of a George Springer vibe. But there's no, it's not the same GM. It's not, maybe not even the same approach to lineup. I don't even know what, now that Dana Brown's there. I'm trying to remember if Dusty even had a year with George Springer, if George was already gone. I think George is already gone. And so now you just, you know, but I don't have a problem with Pena hitting leadoff. I just know that for right now, let's just keep it the way it was.
Just put Dusty,
for being an old school guy, Dusty seems averse to keeping his lineups. Now, granted, he has to deal with a lot of injuries, it seems like. A lot of ticky-tack injuries that are forcing him to make changes, but he just doesn't stay with a static lineup very often at all. They led the league in different lineups last year, and when there's no reason to switch a lineup up, he will make some changes like this where he's got Pena going one. But, I mean, typically I don't have a problem with Jeremy Pena hitting one. I think that ultimately – one or two is going to be a really good spot for him in baseball. But why do, if he's hitting well in the two spot, and if you have a, you know, if you have a good quality number one hitter, why mess
yeah.
with it?
Yeah.
That one just is almost like you're just goofing with it to goof with it. If you're going to goof with somebody, goof with Abreu.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's switch it up. Adam Silver was on with Dan Patrick. And while he continues to say, I'm not going to address the John Morant situation. He continues to address the John Morant situation. Dan Patrick asked him about Ja and the toy gun, toy gun story, and he's treating a gun like a toy. Yeah,
that's kind of the
problem. The that's really the problem here.
The latter. We are waiting for the finals to be over. I'm aware, of course, of these reports on social media about, you know, whether the gun was in fact a gun. And so we haven't completely wrapped it up.
Does that matter, Commissioner, if that's a toy gun?
You know, it's interesting. It's the very issue is for Ja, certainly in the first incident, was treating a gun as a toy. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And that's what I think the danger is to society, taking a gun, live streaming it, you know, this is, without getting into gun issues in terms of the propriety of owning guns and the use of guns, I think everyone agrees that gun safety is critically important and that guns aren't toys. So it's something that I'm thinking a lot about because, again, I'm not going to get into the specifics of the investigation, but in fact, if you are live streaming something that to the world looks exactly like a gun and in a frankly reckless manner, should it matter whether or not it's a real gun? I mean, I will say at the end of the day, in terms of doing my job, everything that's presented to us is relevant. Past conduct is relevant. The circumstances in which you're doing whatever the act is becomes relevant. And in this case, you know, obviously we're going to take into account whatever's presented to us.
All right. I think 30 is the number now. I think since that number came out and the NBAPA might fight anything over 30 because 30 is the max without having any kind of criminal charges. I think 30 might be the number now. Well, because it was 8.
Here's why I'm a little concerned. He talked about Dan Pat. Let me find the sound here because he addressed that. If you know which one, RJ, where Dan asked about. I watched the interview yesterday. I've got to see how it's labeled here. But yesterday, when he was talking to him, Dan Patrick was asking him about it. Dan was kind of concerned about, well, what about, like, do you think it could go sideways with Ja? It's what qualifies as a long suspension. And so, obviously, Adam Silver didn't want to get into that. He's not going to show his hand. But Dan brought something up that, and the commissioner, if you can see it in the video, the fact that he basically acknowledges, well, what's going to happen with this guy if he doesn't have basketball? I think the commissioner has a pretty good – I actually think Adam Silver's a pretty – I think he's a very sharp commissioner. I think he's a pretty good commissioner. I think he's navigating some very challenging times in different ways. But here was his argument about – or here was the discussion about what qualifies as a long suspension.
I'm not going to get into precise number of games, but I will only say in response to people who say 8 wasn't enough the first time around, it felt like a pretty severe punishment at the time, and an 8-game suspension, of course, without pay. And so I will say, you know, I said this before, in terms of impacting his behavior, would 12 games have made a difference the first time, 15 games? I really don't know. I also, the older I get, I realize that I can't control other people and that he has to own his own conduct. And regardless of the number of games he had been suspended for first time around, he owns this, not me. And he has to take responsibility for it. And part of this, you know, it's fine for somebody to come in and take responsibility for their action. And I'll even give him the benefit of the doubt that he was sincere. He's now made this mistake again. And I think one of the things we even talked about then is nobody's naive in the league office, certainly not Joe Dumars, been at this a long time, was, you know, we'll see as you go back out into the world, how you choose to comport yourself. And so now here we are again, dealing with an issue around Ja. And I also think it's important to point out that this is not about just discipline and then we'll just cross our fingers and then hope there's not a third time. I recognize that he needs some assistance, you know, from the league office, his union, his team. He's no doubt he's a remarkable player. And I think he's a very engaging young man. It's one of the reasons he has this enormous following on social media, but it's a two-edged sword.
Well, they went on. Well, one of the things that he said in one of the sound bites was that Dan brought up, or, you know, are you worried about the fact that if it's long suspension, he doesn't have basketball, it's just going to lead to, you know, is it going to get worse?
Well, yeah, right.
Something. And he said, yeah, you know, you do have to think about that and talk about that. And so when I got through it, I realized I think that 30 to 40 is the max that they're going to do. I think a year is warranted because I think it could maybe save Ja's life, frankly. Ja's doing stuff that could eventually get him into a spot where it's really, really bad.
Yep.
And I hear all these people just are worried about his money, and they're worried about Ja's just making a mistake. He's a young guy, this, that, and the other. And then we see, you know, we know that we see guys who are young guys who are being killed way too soon or losing their lives early, like not making it to age 30 for dumb stuff. And when I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about young entertainers, hip-hop artists, athletes, whatever the case may be. You know, that might be suspending him for a year also could be saving his life, too. It could be, it could change and fundamentally alter the way he looks at, man, I got too much to lose in this. I can't afford to throw this away. Maybe it all ultimately changes, but he made a comment about getting him some help. Basically, he was saying, Ja's got to learn how to act. I mean, yeah. As we would just say in a casual conversation, he needs to learn how to act because it ain't happening. I don't know if it didn't happen with his parents, if T didn't do it or whatever, but Ja right now, that's why Silver's like the NBA PA's got to step in and do something. Somebody's got to help, try to help him see the light on this.
Yeah,
is he going to be mentor, if get away from his friends?
He's been a star his whole life. He's probably been entitled his whole life. He could do whatever he wanted his whole life.
College, though.
Yeah. No, he's always been a great player.
Yeah, but yeah. Ja was not. Where did Ja go to college?
And a dad that was a player, and probably just let him be him his whole life. And you know what?
It was Murray State. Like he ain't no five star at Murray State.
Well, he was a star at Murray State.
Oh, at Murray State, but going there, like his whole life, he didn't grow up a five star player and all this and that. He ended up at Murray State. Like that's not a power five.
It doesn't matter. Your parents. It doesn't matter where you go.
It could still be your parents.
Absolutely. All right, 732 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it the merger that never happened? It's a real possibility, and maybe the favorite right now, that this merger between the PGA and LIV is never going to happen.
All the stuff we've been talking about?
Never going to happen. We'll talk about it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, we're talking about Doc Linville. Look, the hair, okay? Stop already. I'm looking at Jay Williams right now. He's got no hair. You know how much better he would look with hair? And then I'm looking at the other guy at the desk with him with all that hair, and he could be a superhero while Jay can't. You know why? Because he's bald. No superheroes are bald. None. Okay? You could go doctor, whatever his name is. No, he's not a superhero. He's just made up. Okay? You can't make a Batman, Superman. They all had wonderful hair. Okay? Those are real, real superheroes. Iron Man. Great hair. Robert Downey Jr. Great hair. You got to have hair. You want to be a superhero? You want to be a hero with the ladies? Yeah. Yeah. You do. You got to have hair. And if you wake up in the morning and you're looking, the first thing you do is look, how much more hair did I lose? Go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com, and let Doc Linville tell you. You could just do the PRP, which will stimulate hair growth, or you can do the neo-grafting, which is awesome. A three-day anesthetic where it's going to be so much different. If you tried to cut and paste the hair before, it's awful. This process is tremendous. You'll love it. It's easy. You will see results. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the best sports radio station in Houston.
I've got to prove that I'm the best, and I'm racing no matter what you tell me.
Huh? She just wanna take it off. Blame it on the alcohol.
Let's get back to John and Lance on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. More importantly, let's get back to the guy who does all the actual heavy lifting on this show, RJ. Hang in there, brother. Everybody listening knows who's the real hero here. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's RJ and these two guys.
Cody says, the guns are obviously what everyone's going to be obsessed about with Ja, but that dude is a straight-up MVP-level player while also being an old-school legit alcoholic. Not a sixer a night. Dude drank tequila like it was Kool-Aid. Did you see him where he was chugging the tequila?
Yeah.
I think it's a variety of things. I think it's not knowing who he, you know, wants to fit into a culture in a way that he wants to do it. I think it's having friends that maybe not are great influences, but he also may be bad influences on them. You never know. I think it's, you know, maybe there's an issue with the alcohol. Ja's situation is probably a little more complex than just don't have guns in a video. It's probably more than that, but we'll see. But yeah, the more I hear and the more at one point you and I were talking about, my over under was 50 and a half, but it feels,
no, I don't think
it feels lower now than that. And 30 is a lot. listen, 30 games, you're taking 30% of his pay. That's a lot. I still think it probably needs to be more. You got to make a statement to not just Ja, but everyone in the league, that because the league kind of runs over the players run over the NBA. It's become a thing where the players really have pushed as far as they can go. And this is one where this is not about how we're going to run our league or, you know, what the messaging or anything. This is literally about a guy is breaking the elements of his contract. This is a guy that you have moral turpitude. You have things where he could be arrested for him. He's clear cut violating league rules, and the league has to step in and say, if anyone does this, they're going to face the same consequences as Ja. That's why I think it has to be a very harsh penalty, because you need people to never get to that point again.
Yeah. Well, no, a huge suspension and taking money out of Ja's pocket, it's going to be a deterrent.
It's 30 a deterrent?
Deterrent for everybody. 30 is a deterrent. Absolutely. All right. We don't have much time left, but let's talk a little bit about this Liv deal. And I think the favorite right now is that it will not happen. It is going to go away.
You think the favorite is that everything that we have talked about.
Yes.
Saudi money and this and that. All of our discussions, you think now is for nothing.
On Wednesday afternoon, Representative John Garamendi, Democrat, California, the third ranking minority member, proposed the No Corporate Tax Exemption for Professional Sports Act. Now, if you are the Saudi Arabians, you are not beholden to United States law, unless you are a commercial entity in the United States.
Which they are now.
Which they would be, yes, if they do. Here's his quote. Saudi Arabia cannot be allowed to sports wash its government's horrific human rights abuses and 2018 murder of American-based journalist Jamal Khashoggi by taking over the PGA. PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan should be ashamed of the blatant hypocrisy and about-face he and the rest of the PGA's leadership demonstrated. It's more than this, though. Besides, they're going to have to open up their books. And the PGA is already, PGA by the players, has already been accused of giving so little percentage to the players, the lowest in all of sports. And that's why they do not want to open up their books. But they have not, look, it's so funny. They are in all of this antitrust lawsuit stuff, and they did not consult an antitrust lawyer when they combined on this merger, and they find this, and there are antitrust experts that are befuddled by this, that say this is, here's, I'm just baffled. This guy is a great writer. There is a great piece right now. Chris Vaughn sent me this piece. It's just awesome. Matt Stoller wrote this. He is a big newsletter, and he is a antitrust expert. Anyway, he says the tour is receiving upwards of $2 to $3 billion in all litigation, ending Liv likely going away, according to an industry source. He says they could. This is so illegal that Jay Monahan had this quote: "This merger is good for his organization because it allows them to quote take the competitor off the board." It is exactly what you can't say when you are merging with another. You can't take all the competition off the board. It's immediately a monopoly, and it will not hold up.
But the other side is not. It's not a hostile takeover, though.
It doesn't matter. You cannot monopolize. It doesn't matter if it's hostile or not. You cannot monopolize.
Oh, to have the tax exemption.
All of yeah.
The
antitrust. But you just can't be a monopoly either way.
Because I was going to say groups can merge if they want to.
Right. Absolutely. Hey,
because all the time people will buy competitors, you know, to take competition off the board and strengthen themselves. That happens every single day.
Well, this whole thing was to get. Now, he is saying, but there are multiple, right, left wing, all of them are all saying this is befuddling what they're doing. That it
Here's your problem. When you find a topic now that is nonpartisan, it's almost impossible to find a nonpartisan. Liv is nonpartisan.
This is it.
Yeah.
No, this is it. Everybody, see. And he says, the only thing that I can figure is that this will not go through. Liv is going to pull out. Liv is going to say, we are not going to merge. PGA is going to say, we are not going to merge. We will continue business as usual. Liv will say they cannot continue on in business the way it is. Liv will shut down, and then in some amount of time, the Saudis will invest in the PGA Tour. Mm. Then they don't have to. They don't. They will just be an investor as opposed to a merger.
God, but dude, you're redoing that all over again.
Well, right, but
literally. Here comes Saudi money again. They'll have to live this nightmare again.
They will have to. They will have to answer for it once again. But this is a way for the Saudis to not open their books with this lawsuit. This is a way for them to get rid of Liv. This is a way for them to get into the PGA like they've wanted to. And this is more than likely what will probably happen. We'll see. I don't see them fighting this, either of them. Jay Monahan is done. Jay Monahan is going to be done. I'm telling you, there's no trust for him whatsoever after this, and there's no way he could possibly run this group the way that they feel about him now.
So you weren't in contact. Do we know that for sure with an antitrust lawyer? Do we know for sure he wasn't in contact?
Yes, they just did the deal between the two sides and no antitrust. That's what they're saying here, that there's no possible way that there were antitrust lawyers involved here.
Well, that is really strange that you never did that. You didn't talk to – you want to talk about desperate.
Mm-hmm.
You do that. You don't consult with members of the PGA who have backed you. You know, it was strange the entire way, but this – boy, what a wrinkle this would be as well. What a nightmare. I don't know that they can take the Saudi money.
Yeah.
You say they try to reinvest – I don't think they can take it. Well, I think this may just be a wrinkle in history where we look back and say, man, remember that time Liv was in place for 2 years? Because I honestly don't think they can say, okay, let's redo this and then let's go through this all over again where we don't even have the cover of trying to get our players back.
Right.
We're literally just going to take money from Saudis. That's even worse.
Well, and Katie Van Dyck, an antitrust lawyer and colleague of this guy's organization, says this deal is one of the most brazen mergers to monopoly in recent history. And she pointed out it's not just the Department of Justice with jurisdiction, but the UK and European Union enforcers as well, because DP Tour is involved as well. Unless Congress grants an antitrust exemption, as it did with the AFL and NFL football leagues, this deal is just crazy, and I cannot see. See, that involved all American ownership. AFL and NFL, when they merged in 60.
Right.
This is the Saudis with Congress? Are you kidding me? There's zero chance they'll grant antitrust.
It's such a negative. It's just such for their voters, all they're going to think about is, ooh, our voters won't like this.
Yeah. So I think we've been talking about a lot of nothing. We'll find out, but it looks like this could quite possibly be a lot of nothing, and maybe just a way for them to all save face, get out of the litigation, end that, just go back there to their separate corners and not have to open up their books. And maybe this is that was the desired outcome all along, because this doesn't look like, especially with Congress is acting immediately. There are more than just Garamendi has come out and decried this merger. There are a bunch of people who are up in arms about this, and I don't think that ever passes legislation. We'll see. All right, this segment is brought to you by Barbecue Queso from Damaris Barbecue.
Mm.
Do we have Barbecue Queso today?
No.
Melted cheese full of freshly chopped veggies finished with chopped brisket. What? I've had this. This is really good. They got the brisket in the cheese.
I'm sure it's really good.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure it's really good.
Get it cheese at Damaris and Barbecue. Brisket.
Tell me when that combination hasn't worked.
Always. Oh, except maybe your brisket. I don't know.
But no, that's my brisket say. Works, too.
No, that's
nobody's
what people
saying
say.
That.
Everybody says
nobody
that.
Nobody says that.
I don't know why, but
nobody
people continue
that.
To say that on
no
Twitter.
No one's saying that. Streets don't say that.
All right, 713-780-3776. You got some thoughts on anything that we brought up already? Let's go. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. You've chosen wisely.
I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
If you're
watching on Twitch during that last break, you probably noticed that John and Lance barely interact with each other when they're not live. Well, after doing radio for 43 years together, they've developed their own high-frequency twin language that only they can hear and comprehend. It's true. They're actually planning every single word they're about to say in this next segment. Nothing is ad-lib or off the cuff. This is what they're hearing. Ah, my ears. Jesus. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll move away after this, but Jeff wants to talk about the Saudis. What do you say, Jeff?
Hey, guys. The one thing we want to talk about is if this deal falls through, like you said, John, the PGA Tour is all but done because now every single player that was on the fence about leaving and only stayed because of quote-unquote integrity.
Wow. Are we still on? We are? We just had a power surge or something. What was that? Was that the phones? What was that? Are we sure we're still on the air?
I will check, but I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Where's Jeff?
What happened?
Where's Trader Jeff?
What happened to Jeff? Hey, Jeff, call back. Are the phones done? We just had some kind of a giant flash in here. A technical difficulty, which is not like us. That's not like us.
No. Stream's usually crystal clear.
Are we on? Let us know. Well, if you don't hear us.
Yeah.
All right. If you do hear us, let us know, okay?
The stream will be on. Twitch will still be on.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe. Let us know. Yes, we're on. Michael says we're on.
Okay.
Okay, so we just lost Jeff, though. I don't know what the hell happened. The whole place went. You are on.
Which Michael was that?
Michael Vayner from Get Me.
Oh, okay, not Pete's.
No. Michael.
Because I had steaks for you, and I had steaks for you and RJ, and I left them in the refrigerator. I'd made extra steaks, and I made them just perfect to where you could microwave them, heat them up, and they'd still be medium rare if that's how you get down. And they were perfect. Just assume that they were good. I'm not going to go out of my way to get them up here to you now. So my wife already said, no, I'm not bringing steak up there. I said, okay.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for the effort. It's 3 miles away.
Next time she wants a couch, let me know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or those peas and onions. Yeah. Who asked for peas? Tell John to make us some peas and onions. No, we haven't.
She never made them.
She decided she's not cooking anymore because her kids' pickiness and complaining about stuff has literally just sapped the joy out of cooking for her. So now she's like, yeah, once my kids are out, I will never cook ever again. I'm like, hey, what?
Hey.
What are we doing here? When they're out, that's when we can have the good stuff. What are we talking about? I get the worst of it. She eats the same healthy, boring stuff. She eats lettuce, tuna packets, and grilled chicken. That's all she eats every day. Like salad and either thing. Tuna packet salad, grilled chicken. It's the most boring thing in the world. I'm like, what is this? This is now,
no.
You know, what do the kids want? I don't know. Fend for themselves. Look what you kids have done.
This is a good question. Last night, the Braves had four former players call the entire game for TV, and it was an all-time classic. Chipper, Glavin, Smoltz, and Jeff Francoeur. Jokes, trash talk, classic footage, etc. If y'all could pick four former Astros to call the game, who would it be?
Great question.
Well, obviously, the first one is Berkman. Berkman's number one. Bagwell's
number two.
Bagwell is
two. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Number three would be probably the guy that everyone loved and a funny guy, Jeff Kent. No, I would say Jeff Blum. Blum, Bagwell.
And he's got a sharp, yes.
Berkman, not Biggio.
Berkman, Bagwell, Blum.
I don't think Osmus.
Killer Bees. Oh, no. Osmus would be really good.
He would be.
Except he's busy,
but they're all from the same like team now.
Yeah. Well, so were Chipper, Glavin, Smoltz, and Frank
Gore. I guess that was their run. Yeah. Let's try to break it up a little bit. I would say try to get them from different Only you can only have two from the same team. So it'd be Bagwell Berkman for sure. Then I would say, what about Gattis? I don't know enough on Gattis.
Or Reddick.
Yeah, Reddick might be good. We got to think of guys who aren't playing.
Rasmus.
Right?
Oh no!
Who?
The guy who's nuts, who is so right wing on Twitter that everybody's. Oh my God! Who is it? It's a.
Oh, I know who you're talking. Yeah, about.
A lefty.
Aubrey Huff.
Aubrey Huff.
We can't have Aubrey Huff. Huff. You can't. Aubrey Huff has turned into a legitimate nut job.
No, Aubrey Huff would be great.
Hold on a second.
Oh God!
Is there a pitcher? What about Keuchel? I wonder if Keuchel would be any good. Because you got to have some pitchers in there to give you a pitch. Like, you are going to want him to analyze some elements of the game at some point.
What about Roy? But you can't. You nah. want that
Roy game. Roy has a little smart ass to him.
He does.
I don't think Billy would work.
But you can't have the same. You said you want different eras.
Mm-hmm.
Chacon.
No, you can't have Sean Chacon.
He could tell why he chokes out general
GM one time.
He chokes out general managers.
Now, you could go into the 2000s because Berkman, like before Berkman, no, Berkman got there early.
What about your country singer?
No, we're not having that dummy. He's not my country singer.
He is yours. He did a song.
Brett Myers. You can't have Brett Myers.
Lima. Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, can't have Lima. Can't have Lima. And the rest of those guys are kind of boring.
Charlie Kerfeld, Alan Ashby, and a drunk Charlie Kerfeld. I don't know. You got to watch. Kevin Bass is good. Dirk.
It's
a little
too dry for Berkman and Bagwell.
Hologram Lima.
Okay.
I would want.
Now I'll just say you can use everybody off the same team. It's got to. But there's got to be somebody off the 2015 and forward. Okay. What about Hank Conger? I bet Hank Conger would be fun.
He
on
would
a broadcast.
Be great.
What happened to Hank Conger?
He's a coach. He's a first base coach. He was just here last week.
Who's he with?
He's with the Angels. Is he or was
Twins?
Was he the Twins. Yeah, he was here last week with the Twins.
Hank Conger was one of my favorites. Yeah. I interviewed him. You know, he used to do the robot stuff. Yeah. Like I interviewed him in 15 when I was at when they won the game against the one game.
In New York.
Wild card game. He was, and I just told him, because he was like a legend on my show at the time, the show that I was doing. He was legendary because he was so much fun. It was so much fun. You expected nothing from that team. You got Hank Conger in there doing robot stuff. We found out about Club Astros, which is kind of a secret thing.
I think Gattis would be good from that team.
Evan Gattis would probably be
great.
Good.
Yeah, he would be great. I can't have Brett Myers? Okay.
No, we can't have Brett Myers.
Is there any other?
You know, country gone.
What about Backy?
Yeah, kind of a wild card. Yeah, kind of a wild card out there.
Backy would be great.
Yeah. But I just feel like there's somebody. But a lot of the guys are still playing
it
from
would
the
be,
15
it
team.
It would be Berkman, Charlie Morton Bagwell, still plays. Blum, and then... maybe Gattis.
Yeah, maybe Gattis.
Maybe Gattis. That'd be so much fun. But it would be nice to have a pitcher in there.
Classic you. No diversity in your booth.
What are you talking about? I got three B's and a G. Gattis.
That's not diversity of their last
two.
Names.
What the hell? I got some diversity. I brought.
How about
Gattis
Derek
in.
Bell? I just don't know what his personality
I
was.
I have no idea. No. Operation Shutdown? The whole thing would be Operation Shutdown.
Actually, you know who would be good? Is Cruz Sr. actually might be good in there.
Oh, Jose Cruz?
Yeah. I see him all the time. You know, I was at the game the other day with my kids. He's just sitting there talking to people. As people just stop and talk to him. I was at Gulf Coast Chevy's car show. He just comes out there to check out the cars, and I sat and talked to him for a while. Cruz is great. And, of course, Cruz Jr. is good, too. Cruz Jr. was an Astro for just a little bit.
Berkman, Lima, Springer, Correa, and Fiers. No.
Not Fiers.
Nolan Ryan? Oh, he could give those guys the business, though. Nolan Ryan could give them the business.
You know what? Jim DeShays.
Oh, Jim DeShays would be
Jim
great.
Jim DeShays would be great.
He would be
great. I mean, he's a pro, too, but
he's
so is Blummer.
Busy, though.
DeShays, Blummer. No, so what? We're doing this. If we were going to do if he could take a day off
he can't,
from Chicago.
Well, fly down here.
DeShays, Blummer, Berkman, Bagwell.
DeShays would be awesome. He's great. He's great.
And then that gets you off. That gets you, you know, and he'll be still familiar. Obviously, he's still a broadcaster. That would be a good one.
Yep. All right, 703-780-3776. Still ahead, Dana Holgerson's going to join us in studio. Hunter Pence.
There's probably guys that we don't even know that would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Maldonado supposedly
Ooh, what
has
about Roger? That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, Roger.
Roger would be really good.
Roger would be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roger would be the guy.
Oh, my God. They
I mean, it's all the same team, but Roger would be the guy.
Yeah.
We know Roger's good.
Yeah. No. All right, taking a break. 713-780-3776. Come on in.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.
Hi there. We are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week, we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.